Hello and welcome to Bizarre Conspiracies. My name is Eric Patino, and with me as always is...
Conrad Toll, from my portable mobile broadcasting station? I don't know.
Yeah,
today I am in a new location, so we should not be hearing any alarms in the back. Shouldn't hear any alarms going off in the background.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll see. But today we're going to talk about global warming. And disclaimer, full disclaimer, it's so boring. Hopefully we'll make it interesting for you guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just could not get into it.
Well, I would say, Eric, that might be because maybe you weren't looking at what I was found. Because I found I thought was interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Because this topic was my idea. Maybe it's just different tastes and preferences here.
Maybe. But I want to ask a question to all the audience. Do you believe in global warming? Let me know. You can email me or Conrad at bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. I'll remember to put a link this time in the description. So if you want to email us, you just click on the link there. But yeah, let us know. Do you believe in global warming? Are you a flat earther as well? I really want to know these things, and maybe some of that feedback will generate a topic for us to talk about. But yeah, you're going to have to guide me through this, Conrad, because when it came to the ozone layer and greenhouse effects and all that, it just kind of made my brain turn off.
Yeah, so have you heard of... Michael Moore,
the film director.
Yeah, the film director.
Did he do the bowling for Columbine or something like that?
The what now?
There was a documentary film about Columbine. I think he might have
quite
done it.
Possibly. He's made a lot of films. However, did you hear about? I suppose one of his latest films. This is what I suppose. Made me see global warming in a whole new light, where he went about showing how in his film, because he made, I think, three different films pushing global warming. And then his most recent film is him showing how it's how there's companies that profit off of selling things that he considers worthless. He got a whole lot of backlash over this one. Like, green groups are going after him in droves, which is weird because he makes all these films that all these groups love, okay? And then as soon as he makes one film that criticizes the way in which they profit off of these films, the idea of preventing global warming and all of that, they turn on him and be like, no, don't do that. But you would think that if you really did care about global warming, this would be the sort of thing that you would want to put out there and be like, oh, there's good companies and there's bad companies. But they immediately turn on him and like, no, they're all good. What are you talking about? Don't say anything.
What was the name of the movie?
Oh, I don't know. I definitely could look it up right here. But I'm guessing you haven't heard of it.
Mm-mm.
So,
no, but I'm trying to look at what he did recently, and he did a 9/11 in 2018, and that's his most recent one. Yeah, I don't see any other ones. Capitalism one. He did one about the healthcare system. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure that you're not going to find it easily. It's one that they really hated, so it's. It's definitely buried somewhere.
Well, I was looking at his Wikipedia page, and it should have a list of everything he's done.
That's funny. Because I found a link. I think it's called The Coming Age on Green Energy or something like that. The Coming of Age on Green Energy. Apparently free on YouTube. It's called Planet of Humans. Okay.
Planet of Humans?
Yeah, Michael Moore presents Planets of Humans, a documentary that dares to say what no one will, that we're losing the battle to stop climate change because we're following leaders who have taken us down the wrong road and are selling out to green energy movements and wealthy interests of corporate America. So
I found it.
Yeah. Really hard to find unless you know what you're looking for.
Ah, interesting. All right, so you know what? I'll save the link and I'll add that to the description down below as well, in case anyone actually wants to go and watch it.
So that's kind of what got me started on it. This whole topic is the idea of green energy scams. Mm-hmm. So I went, and you know, YouTube's always constantly pushing,
sure,
videos about green energy, and I watched a couple. And they all do the same thing. They first tell you that global warming's real. And then the next thing that they'll do is they'll double down on that position as if they expect you to disagree with them. Then they'll do what I call the it's at the end of their double downing. They will do this thing where they I call it the Al Gore conversation stopper. I really don't know exactly how to describe it, but you know, Al Gore is very famous for saying
global warming and all that.
Global warming's real. That's the end of the debate or something like that. The debate's over. Climate change is real or something like that. I think he said global warming because they hadn't changed the name to climate change back then.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, he was very much right that he definitely ended the argument, but he didn't settle the issue. So the argument's over, but there's no agreement that has been made. So what mm-hmm. you've done is you've essentially deadlocked everything. So this is the position: you agree with me or you are going to disagree with me, and we're not going to talk and we're not going to work together to find any more common sure. ground or anything like that. It's like, nope, this is it. And it really is a very unusual thing to do for a politician, I would think. But then I got to thinking about it and I realized something. He did not intend to protect the world from global warming. He wanted a topic issue to talk about in politics, mm-hmm. to argue over, to do the whole political dance about, and continue doing what politicians do. I mean, when was the last time that you remember anything being done on what they call the hot topic issues, what they call it, the push button issues of politics? You know, there's all sorts of them that people strongly disagree with or strongly agree with, like abortion and firearms and what's another one, good one? Border control, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are massively divided on it.
Sure.
When was the last time anything ever was accomplished on those? When you can go like, oh, you know, there was the something or other bill where the Democrats or the Republicans pushed something or another through Congress, and you know, all the stars aligned, and they got all of the things, and they had all three houses and whatnot, and
sure.
well, they had both houses and the White House, and they pushed through a bill of some kind, and something big happened.
Mm-hmm.
It almost never happens because here's the thing. They don't want to actually make – they don't actually want to do that. They just want to talk about it, but they never actually want to do anything on it because here's the thing. Let's say they went ahead and they made Medicare for all, right? They went ahead and did Medicare for all. It would then either work or it'd fail, one or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the conversation, it would be decided. And then it would be like, oh, well, that worked or that didn't work. And then what would they argue about next time? Right?
Right.
They don't want to actually make movements at something. They just want to use something to be like, hey, you agree with me on this, 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 and this. So vote for me and I'll fight sure. for your cause. Then they go to Congress and they do whatever politicians do. They don't keep the promises. They get money from wherever they get money from. They cut deals to get out of office. They write books and sell them for millions. And then they go and they give speeches at places. And how much money does Obama get paid for giving speeches or something like that now?
I have no idea.
A ridiculous amount of all that corruption, because here's the thing, they never wanted to change anything. They just want to create issues that they really don't care about and that really don't change anything. And the things that they argue about don't change anything either. Because let's talk about bringing this back to the topic of global warming. Let's talk about what are the big things that they want you to do in order to save the planet. What are all the commercials and all of these YouTube videos? Because that's the second thing. After they do that part in the videos where they make their point, double down on it, end argument, then the next thing they do is they tell you what you should do, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are these common things? What do they love? What do they want the world to be like? What do they say is going to fix the world, Eric?
I don't know. I haven't watched one of these videos in a long time, so I don't like remember.
Wind, solar, electric cars, or a few of them.
Oh yeah, electric cars to have clean energy or something. Yeah,
recycling. What's another thing that they love? Recycling. Not eating meat. Did you know that one?
I did not. So what does eating meat like contribute to global warming? How does that?
Well, how much carbon emissions it takes to create X amount of calories of beef. And then they say, well, how much of it do you create X amount of calories? And they measure the carbon emissions of, say, carrots and all these other vegetables, right? And then they decide, oh, well, beef is by far the worst, because not only does it, you know, you have to transport, you have to grow corn and all this to raise the cows, and then you have to have cows which breathe and create carbon emissions. They also create methane. The cow pies, the cow patties out there in the pasture create massive amounts of greenhouse gases as the bacteria and all of that decays and releases emissions that are worse than all other animals, including, you know, chickens and pigs and that sort of thing. So by far, beef is the worst. And then, you know, you have to cut it and transport it. And then that's all that electricity and gas you're using. And so beef is the worst. The next it's pork. And then, you know, better than that is chicken. So what you need to do is eat less beef and more vegetables, which, you know, environmentalism and veganism, they go hand in hand and they love it. And they get together and sing kumbaya. And this is the way the world should be. Right?
Uh-huh.
That is going to fix the planet, they say. Right?
Sure.
So the majority of what really kicked me off, I don't even think anyone's ever talked about this except maybe Michael Moore. I haven't seen the film, believe it or not, because it's free on YouTube. I have not seen it, but I heard him talk about it in an interview with somebody, and I was like, you know, he's 100% correct. Because you know how I was saying politicians love to create all of these things that they talk about but never do anything?
Sure.
Part of that is they introduce nonsensical halfway measures, which wouldn't, even if they passed, would never actually settle the issue. For instance, make a comparison to gun banning and all of that. They don't want to ban all guns, right? No. Because that would be like the solid issue of, well, then it would work or it wouldn't work, and then we would know the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that. That is the last thing they want. What they want to do is we'll ban these things. We'll put a limit on how many bullets you can put in a magazine. We will limit, who can buy a gun. We'll have like a 30-day waiting period. We'll do all of these halfway measures that if you look at them, go, well, that's the dumbest rule ever. Like, magazine capacity is the dumbest thing ever. you want to limit somebody from 30 bullets down to 10 bullets. Because do you know what a high-capacity magazine in World War II was?
No.
The Lee Enfield. It was amazing. It held so many bullets compared to all other rifles before it. It held a whole 10 bullets. Mm-hmm. The Germans, they only had a 5-shot. The Russians, 5 shots. The French, 6 shots. The American M1, it had 8 shots. But the British Lee Enfield had 10. And guess what? Which one do you think killed a lot more people?
The British one.
No. The Russian one.
The Russian one?
The Russian and the German one. Those really little ones. The amount of people that died in the Russian-German conflict in Eastern Europe far outweighed everything. Magazine capacity means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because here's the thing. People can reload.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't get it. I really don't get it. It's a really dumb halfway measure that in no earthly way could anyone look at something and say, this will save lives. Because they say, well, if we force a mass shooter to reload, then the chances that somebody will be able to run away and survive goes up. That somebody will be able to fight back goes up. That they'll be able to kill so many people in so short amount of time will decrease and will save lives.
Mm.
Well, statistically, if you look at the statistics, mass shootings account for ridiculously small percentage of deaths when it comes to they spout how many people die from guns, but then by their own admission, they're only trying to save a tiny fraction, and they're trying to do it in the worst possible way. It's the worst of worst halfway measures, but it's the one that the politicians love, because they get out there on the campaign trail and they argue about guns back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. And they get elected over this tiny issue. And if they solve that issue and they pass a 10-round magazine ban, guess what? They're not going to have ever actually done anything. And they went into office because of it. They got into political power by promising you a halfway measure that does nothing. So what are the halfway measures that they do with the global warming? They want you to eat beef. No, they want you to stop eating beef because, man, that's the best halfway measure ever. Because if you really do the math and you look at like how many carbon emissions there are per nation and all that sort of thing, guess what is not the biggest factor? Which country eats more cows is not on the list.
Wouldn't that be America though?
Yeah, but that's not what they're looking at. What they find is that the countries, if you look at like how much is produced, China produces more emissions than any other nation by far. And the reason for that is not cows. I don't think they eat a lot of beef in China.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of recipes, Chinese recipes that do call for beef, but a lot more of them call for pork. Pork is really big in the Orient.
Mm.
Anyway. It's the biggest of halfway measures, and that's why they love it. And that is why Al Gore did his thing so long ago, almost 20 years, I think, was when he was running for president in, 2000 against George Bush II. Mm-hmm. That would be George W. Bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
George Bush II. Anyway. Thing. I'm getting ahead of myself because that is alluding towards New World Order, which is a topic for another day.
Definitely anyway. A topic we'll cover again.
So, electric cars. If you look at their graphs, and it only is 17% of emissions are from transport. And that's all transport. Think about that.
Oh my God.
They want people to switch to electric cars to reduce 17%. And they don't even expect to reduce it by more than 50%. So they want to reduce 17% by 50%. So what they're actually talking about is by everybody everybody driving electric cars, we're talking 100% of the population driving electric cars, they will save less than 10%. That is like less than 9%. It's like 8.5%. If everybody drives electric cars.
But that's not even going to be possible because
and that is transportation best case for, scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not even possible because you're not going to have a electric powered
18 wheeler
semi truck.
You're not going to have an electric powered train that also does transportation.
Yeah. I mean, there are electric trains. That is definitely a thing, but here's the thing that they don't, that they're not even taking into consideration with their fuel consumption, because that fuel consumption creates normally comes from sources that aren't electric and solar, right? And those ones create carbon emissions. So what they absolutely are, so you're taking carbon emission producing stuff like steam coming from coal. So it's not steam. Steam is not an issue. It's the coal that they burn that they say is the issue. They burn that and then they turn that into electricity, charge a battery, and then drive a car. So
it's not enough just to have the electric car. You need the entire process changed.
Yeah, you would need the whole process changed, but they take into consideration that even driving an electric car in a place like West Virginia, it is better to not drive an electric car because gasoline is better than coal. And West Virginia uses a lot of coal in their production of energy. So it would be better in West Virginia to drive a hybrid, not a pure electric car, but a hybrid. Something that gets all of its energy from gasoline.
Interesting.
So here's the thing. They're pushing these this ridiculous halfway measure with vehicles. And if you were to look at the whole thing in a whole, and you were to look at, because it the way that you would break, you would do this sensibly, right? Is you would look at where the productions of all of these greenhouse gases come from. And you would say, what is the easiest way to reduce the massive amount possible at the easiest amount possible, right? What is the easiest modifications that I can make for the maximum amount of value? Just a simple, a simple to understand. That is how you do it. They do the exact opposite. Because if you look at the graphs, 63% of all of the greenhouse gases are not caused by civilians.
Really?
They are caused by companies.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, but if you look at the solutions that they all propose, every single one of them is centered around civilian, which is the hardest one to change. It would be easier to change all the companies than it would be to change people's personal lives.
Sure.
Let's change a few hundred companies, or let's change hundreds of millions of people's minds. Which one is the impossible task?
Obviously, all the civilians.
So they pick the impossible task.
Why do they do that?
Because they don't want to make a change.
They just want to seem like they want to make a change, to have a topic to talk about and to raise money and all this.
Yeah, they raise money. They sell green products. I mean, look around you. How many things do you see are sold as green? And how much more expensive are they?
Oh, I don't know. I rarely go shopping for anything that would...
Okay. Have you ever looked at the price of an electric car?
Nope. It's more expensive.
Oh, yeah. By a lot. And so here's the thing. If they can sell you an electric car, and the electric car does nothing, but they can sell everybody an electric car, think of how much money they would make if they sold everyone in America an electric car.
Yeah, but that's not going to benefit everyone who's pro global warming, right? That's only going to benefit like a really small number of business owners.
Right. The people in charge. in this.
So you're saying, so what you're telling me is that global warming is a cult, right?
Pretty. Obviously
there's an elite. There's an elite in global warming. There's the higher ups, right? Uh-huh. And they get followers,
yeah,
believers, to get you to change your mind to buy their products.
And they make tons of money.
So
all these people that are very fanatical about global warming, they are the cult, and they believe it religiously.
Oh, yeah.
They
love it. I know.
And then the elite here are cashing in on thousands of millions of dollars. So that would be billions. I should have just said billions.
A lot of money.
Billions on selling global warming products.
Jeez.
Which, if you look at it, is clearly, even if you don't believe in global warming, or if you do believe in global warming, it doesn't matter. You can look at this and say, well, the changes that you propose, by everybody's direct knowledge, would change nothing by your own reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that it does nothing, and yet they push it. And they make billions, which is, I think, the gist of Michael Moore's film. Mm-hmm. Which is why the elites make it so hard to find Michael Moore's movie. How is it so hard to find a movie that won't... I don't even think that anyone would produce it for him. I think that's why it's on YouTube for free, is because he couldn't get it produced,
sure,
at like a regular film and put it on DVD and put it in theaters. It never did that because they hate it. Because what he does is he goes around and he looks at really dumb things and he calls them dumb. Mm-hmm. And they go, wait a minute, we're making tons of money. Stop it. One of the things that he put in his film, again, I haven't seen the film, but things I've allegedly heard that are in the film is he, there's a natural wood forest, I forget what they called it, but essentially it is they burn wood, and just like a coal factory where they burn coal and they create electricity, they burn wood and they make steam, and that creates energy when they run it through the turbines, right? It has all those fancy names, and it's like natural forest energy or something really dumb like that. And he goes and he films them cutting down tons of trees, putting them on gasoline powered trucks, driving them over to a place and burning them, sending tons of smoke into the atmosphere and being like, this is being advertised as green energy.
Very nice.
That's so insane. Yeah. And now wonder why it is you can't find the film. But here's the thing. I disagree with Michael Moore on like 100% when it comes to politics. There's very few things that he supports and I'm like, that's a good idea. He hates guns. I love guns. I live for guns. I'm going to go shoot guns this afternoon.
Yeah, but he doesn't live in Texas.
And
so.
I bought a 40-round magazine today.
That's pretty fun.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, so I disagree with him on almost everything, but I can tell you this is probably the weirdest thing where I'm like, you know what? I never thought I would be like on a conspiracy theory show being like, you should go listen to Michael Moore.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
This is a weird day, man. This is a weird day for me.
Well, on that note, we did hit the halfway mark here, so we're going to be taking a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And we're back from the break. And so, yeah, it's like I was telling you, Conrad, during the break. It's like, what's the end goal for all this? The people who hardcore believe in global warming, they believe it because they think it's a very good cause, and that cause is save the Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not in immediate danger of losing Earth. We're not in immediate danger of destroying the Earth for next couple hundred thousand years, maybe even. I mean, simple fact is we're not going to destroy the Earth.
And it's really weird. They're like, well, it's a noble cause and we're saving the world and all of its inhabitants and that sort of thing. But here's the thing. Even if we cook the world alive, you know, turn up the heat, we all boil. Yeah. There's going to be something that lives somewhere. And the Earth, a million years to the solar system is, you know, a minute to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't, the Earth itself is full of flaming magma. Do you think it cares what temperature it is outside?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So you're not going to wreck a planet.
No.
You probably aren't even, you might wreck a few ecosystems, but you're not going to destroy all life on the planet.
Now, there are some things that I would agree with. Like, you know, like you were saying in the first part of the podcast, recycling, right? That's another big one for them. I can see recycling being a good thing because a lot of our trash does end up in the ocean and it kind of screws up the aquatic life. I've seen tons of videos and pictures of like all these fish stuck in like those Coke wraps. You know what I'm talking about? Those Coke can wraps.
You want to know something? What? Those Coke can wraps were probably recycled. I'm not joking.
No. I understand what you're saying.
Plastics that are out there,
the process,
do not get recycled.
The process of our recycle is terrible, right? Because we recycle, but then the company that picks it up, the waste management, they'll just dump it where they have a legal ground to dump it on, right? That's what they'll do. They don't burn it all, believe it or not. There are some places you can go where they will burn the trash, but a majority of the places won't. They'll just go and dump it somewhere. And yeah, that'll end up in the ocean anyway. But I feel like recycling is still a good cause, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. Of a few products.
Yeah.
So take, for instance, what happened with the whole recycle thing is they knew that the technology was not there to financially recycle plastics affordably. However, there was tons of people who made speculation that there would be enough scientific advance to affordably recycle stuff. And then if you owned massive amounts of plastic, you could just recycle it and sell it. And it would be cheaper than producing it. And you would actually get ahead in the game of plastics. So there was a lot of speculative purchasing plastic around the world. And one of the biggest buyers of plastics was China.
And okay.
They purchased tons of trash plastic.
Really?
And it got shipped over to China. And now it's come to light. Several years have passed. And they're like, we're not figuring out a way to actually make a profit out of this. So a lot of the trash that is floating in the ocean got chucked in there by China. Most of the stuff floating in the ocean was thrown in the ocean by China. The U.S. does not, for the most part, throw their trash in the ocean. They put it in landfills. Most of the stuff in the ocean came from Asia, not necessarily just China. There was a few other countries, I think Vietnam.
But China's pretty up on that list.
Yeah. They are the bane of all environmentalists. They produce the most carbon emissions. They don't have any regulation on, you know, what a smokestack can put out. They dump things in the rivers, and they don't have any filters on their smokestacks and that sort of thing. Have you ever seen the pictures of Chinese smog, city smog?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I'll look it up right now, though.
Okay. Another thing you might want to look up is the river pollution. The rivers in China, most of them, are considered to be too toxic to swim in.
Hold on. What is this? It looks like tear gas.
Yeah. Most people in China's cities would wear masks before, and that this is prior to COVID. This has been going on for years. They would wear masks to protect themselves from the smoke in the air.
That's insane. No joke.
They will buy compressed air from the countryside to be shipped into the town so they can open it and have fresh air inside their house.
What?
Yeah.
That's how bad it is?
That's how bad it is.
So I know most areas of Asia, right? I know a majority of them for almost their entire lives have been wearing masks out in public. That's just a... I always thought that was just part of their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a mask because no one wanted to get infected by anything. But this is ridiculous. This looks like tear gas.
Yeah.
It's so thick.
Look up the river pollution in China. The water is brown.
River.
And I don't mean that like, ooh, that water is brown. No, it looks like, I don't know, some unholy chocolate milk.
That looks like poop water.
Yeah, that's because it probably is.
That's really, and there's a lot of trash on it too.
Yeah.
That's really gross.
And where does all that stuff go? The ocean.
Wow, that's really bad.
So when they say, oh, don't throw away your straw, it'll kill the turtles. Odds are, if you throw away your straw, it'll probably end up in a landfill and will never, ever get close to the ocean, let alone a turtle.
Right.
If you do recycle it, it probably will end up in the landfill as well because they can't recycle plastics. So, you know how I was saying they make all of these rules that will have no effect? You know what rules they could make that would work?
What's that?
Make rules against selling plastics that are, you know, not recyclable.
Try to reduce the amount there of plastics. There are some plastics.
Yeah. And here's another thing. Back in the 1950s, I think it was, or probably even later than that, people would keep their soda bottles because they would send them back to the Coca-Cola plant. The Coca-Cola plant would buy them and they would clean them and then refill them.
Sure. Same thing with the glass milk jugs, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Reusable products beats recycling every day.
Well, that is true.
It's like, let's take this product, blend it up, reform it into a new product, and then make the same thing over again. Or we can just take the glass bottle, instead of breaking it up, melting it down, reform it into a bottle and putting more soda into it. Just take it back, wash it, and put stuff in there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Reusing is so much better than recycling. But you'll never hear them talk about reusing. Let's use reusable bottles. No, they say, let's use recyclable cans. It would be better to have this be like, oh no, all soda must come in bottles. And you put the bottles back in the thing. You take them to the store. You take it back. Because that's what would happen. They would take it back to the store, and the store would take it. And when the people showed up to deliver their new sets of Coca-Cola bottles, they would pick up the old bottles and pay the company for giving them back empty bottles. Mm-hmm. And everybody would make more money, maybe. I guess maybe the Coke bottles companies make more money.
It would certainly reduce the cost of making new bottles, right? So I think in the long run, yeah, they probably did make more money.
So even the Coke companies would make more money. But you know who would make less money? The glass bottle companies. The companies that make the glass. The companies that make the plastics now. So the companies that make plastics, oh, they're all big about plastic recycling. But they, boy, are all against reusing. Don't reuse that. Recycle that.
Right, right. So they make... you know, their products now with material that you can't reuse. I mean, you can't really reuse an aluminum can anymore, right? Like, once you use that can, you can't refill it, seal it back up, and then give it back to the customer. That's pretty gross.
Yeah, you can't reuse it in the same purpose that you made it for. Now, I've seen people, like, make stuff out of aluminum cans.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That is definitely not what we're talking about.
I don't think... I don't think you can safely reuse a plastic bottle, right? Like the plastic milk jug that we get now in stores?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not milk jugs. Now, you might be able to get away with a water jug, a plastic water jug. Reuse that.
Right, right.
But milk jugs, no. Because what happens is the milk will adhere to the insides of the plastic. Mm-hmm. And it the amount of bacteria that it can grow is astounding, because milk is the best medium known to man to grow bacteria.
So wait, why did we switch from glass jugs to plastic jugs for milk? Obviously for money, right? But like,
I'm sure there's money in there somewhere.
Did you or your family ever get milk in a glass jug, like ever?
Yes. About 8 months ago, I think, my brother was buying milk in a glass bottle from a...
Was it from a farmer?
Yeah.
Like, directly, yeah. Because, like, you don't get that anymore, especially not in the city.
And then he would take the glass bottle. Here's the thing. He would pay $10, $10 as a deposit on the glass bottle.
Uh-huh. But then he could reuse it, right?
And then when he brought it back, he could get his $10 back. Or he could just get a new jug of milk for a couple cents. Well, not a couple cents, but, you know, for the price of the milk.
Right, right.
Which is normally what he would do. But that company didn't last very long. It's really hard to compete with, because he couldn't sell it at the Texas a grocery store of everyone's choice, HEB. The company, because then he would have to sell it through there. He had to sell it on consignment at a local grocer.
Sure.
And it wasn't as profitable, because not very many people would go to the local grocer. Because can't compete with HEB in Texas.
No, you really can't.
So,
but you know, that's another... that's another thing, though. Like, I don't drink regular milk at all anymore. I drink mostly just oat milk now. And I make it myself, and I put it in a glass jug.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, like, you're doing better than people who recycle their milk containers.
Yes.
Environmentally.
And I'm not even an environmentalist. I just prefer oat milk.
But here's the crazy thing. If everyone was to do like you did, Eric, it still wouldn't change the world.
No, it wouldn't. If everybody got an electric car, it wouldn't change the world either.
So what's the end goal? Well, of the people who mean well, if they think about it, they're not saving the world. They're just saving humanity at best.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely, they're not going to even do that. Because if you look at it, like I was saying, not only are their practices horrible when it comes to like how they plan on saving the world, but their ways of convincing people that it is that they are the people to follow. I've done a little bit of public speaking classes in my life, and I will tell you that the way that they teach environmentalism and the way that they teach global warming prevention and all of that,
sure,
the methods that they use encourage people to disagree with them. Even if you agree with them, that the way that they talk down to you and they treat you like a child, the way that they will not accept any type of criticism, they will not accept any type of, discussion over the facts, the minute details. Everything has to be what they say all the time. You cannot disagree with them on beef. You cannot disagree with them on electric cars. You cannot disagree with them on anything. You cannot even suggest nuclear power. Oh, that'd be terrible. No. Yeah. You must walk. And the way that they are so dogmatic, the way that they talk down to people, it is a way that they push people away. 100%, it just pushes people away.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you agree with them, the way that they say stuff makes you want to disagree with them, even though on principle, you like what they're saying.
So they like to push your buttons.
Yeah.
If they're not making you mad, they're not doing it right.
Yeah. So the thing is, they're to use it in a term that we all would know well, they are virtue signaling is really what they're doing.
Mm.
They're not trying to change people's minds. They're not trying to make the world a better place. Really, they get high off of showing the world how superior they are in their cult, how religious they are, how divine, how holy, how enlightened. How enlightened and close to nature they are. It is very religious, very cult-like. If you ask what the end goal is, really the end goal is they feel good at the end of the day. They love to feel good, I would say, is the average cult worshiper what their goal is. And they don't even realize that themselves. They believe what they're doing is good, just like somebody who's a Karen believes that they deserve the product, that, you know, they deserve it the way that they want it to, and they deserve a discount. They believe that. But if they really thought about it and they really sat down and had a think, they're just very selfish. But they'll never have that kind of awareness.
Maybe some people, but not these religious leaders, these fanatics.
It is very odd. Very odd.
Do you, how much of this global warming business do you actually believe in?
See, here's the thing. I benefit from global warming being correct. As a prepper, it is wait a minute, the zombie apocalypse is coming. That doesn't make me scared. It's like, oh yeah, man, we're gonna, you know, fight, and then we're gonna plant our own stuff. We're going to live off the land. We're going to fight the rising tides. Oh my gosh, it is going to be a fight for survival.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Sure.
In a lot of ways, I want to believe it. And then when I look at the statistics and the facts, and, you know, they say, one of the things that Al Gore loved to say is 98% of all scientists agree, or something like 99% of all scientists agree that global warming is man-made, or something like that. Have you heard that statistic?
I'm sure I have.
It's a very old one.
Yeah.
I don't hear it used a lot, but it was one of the favorites when they first started out. The way that he made that statistic is he went and he looked at all the colleges that they had scientific journals, I forget exactly what they call them, but when a college publishes a paper from one of their professors, one of their scientists, and all of that.
Are you talking about a peer review?
I guess a peer review or something like that.
Okay.
And it's one of those papers that has the structure to it. And at the beginning of all those papers, it has the abstract, which tells you, it's like the abbreviated version of what's in the in the paper. So he had all these people read the abstracts from papers that were published about global warming from the colleges. And of the ones where they listed an opinion, they marked those ones and pulled them aside. Of the ones that didn't base an opinion, that just said, these are findings on, you know, this minute little thing, or, you know, I don't hazard a guess, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They only pulled the ones where they said, this is my opinion on the causes of global warming. No, not even that. So the ones, I forget exactly, but it was a very cherry-picked way that he pulled these abstracts.
Mm.
Where it is the only the ones where they put forth maybe it was a cause of global warming. But if it talked about global warming, or they wouldn't even read the whole paper, they would just read the abstract. And if the abstract agreed that humans were the ones that were causing global warming, it went into one of the categories. And then when he was done with going through all the abstracts, any of the ones that offered no opinion, which was 66%, they discarded those ones. They only looked at the remaining third. And of the third that he had remaining, those are the ones that he got his statistic from.
Mm.
So it's an extremely cherry-picked way of doing it. But here's another thing. When you go through a college way of getting your paper published, and you look at global warming in general, they will punish people who do not toe the line, you mm-hmm. know? If right. if you want to get your paper published, if you don't want to have be academically debarred, because if they disagree with you, they can blacklist you from, you know, publishing.
That's pretty standard, though.
And if one of the colleges does it, then all the colleges follow suit. There's like a whole known standard way of preventing somebody from publishing accredited papers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did disagree, there's a very strong tendency to make you not publish your opinion and just say, these are my findings. I have no opinion. And what would happen if you had that in your abstract and Al Gore's folks were looking over it? You would be set aside. So it's a very strong way of fostering groupthink. So when it comes to my opinion of what I believe about global warming, mm-hmm. my opinion is I will not know until it happens. I really don't know. I would like for it to be. but if I look at the ways that the studies were put together and the evidence mm-hmm. for and against and all the political noise that there is there, because there's so much bias that people have when they go into it. It's very hard to look at something and say, I unbiasedly have come to this conclusion. It's extremely difficult.
Right, right.
And the more political something gets, the harder something like that becomes, to the point where a lot of times you'll just end up, if you really think about it, you'll question, why do I even believe anything at all? How do I know anything? So I would say I actually will not know until global warming strikes in true, you know?
True.
So it's one of those things that when Al Gore said the debate is over, it really meant buckle up, because if this is going to happen, it is going to happen and we're not stopping it, because we're not going to have a conversation. We're not going to come to any consensus. We're not going to have any agreement. We will not succeed at preventing this. We're just going to fight each other. So like if he's correct, what it's going to be like is two guys who are like, sir, we are falling. We're not falling. We're falling. The airplane is crashing. And then there's two guys fighting in the cockpit as the plane goes down. We're not going to be trying to save ourselves, bail out, correct the plane or anything. We're just going to be punching each other to death in a cockpit as the plane crashes. And Fun. We won't know until there's a post analysis and people are like, well, we crashed the plane. What caused the plane to crash? That is when we'll know when global warming is true or not, in the post analysis. And if global warming isn't true, it may be hundreds of years before people stop talking about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if it is a hoax, when does the hoax become so insane that they can say, well, you know, that half measure we passed back in, you know, the Paris Climate Accord, and that didn't include this country, and we still had these many emissions and all of that. But, you know, it really did work and it prevented it this long when, you know, it's still coming, but we still got to work towards it. Like, how much can they blame the delay on all the half measures they've taken, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the folks who, did you ever hear, this was probably before our time. Well, I mean, we might have been born, but it probably wouldn't have been something we would have paid attention to. There was a pastor who wrote a book called 88 Reasons That the World Will End in 1988.
Interesting. I don't know about that.
Well, so he made all these predictions that the rapture was going to happen in 1988, and he wrote the book 88 Reasons. And then the next year after 1988, he wrote a book, 89 Reasons That the Rapture Will Happen in 1989.
Uh-huh.
And it was a flop. The first book was a bestseller. The second book was a flop. How long before, you know, if global warming is a hoax, how long before they publish it do people go, oh, you keep pushing the deadline back, it's not coming, you know? Because they have, I think, pushed the deadline back a couple of times just in my lifetime. So it has the telltale signs of being false. But man, wouldn't that be awesome for a prepper if it happened?
I'm sure you would be in paradise with all your prepping tools and all your backup food that you have stored.
Oh, new addition. I have peanut seeds. So really? I can grow my own peanuts. And I'm going to try and plant peanuts so I can grow peanuts. And then I'm going to learn how to take those peanuts and turn them into peanut butter.
I mean, all you need is a food processor and like...
Yeah, minutes. But I mean, I would need electricity. So
you're going to try to do it without a processor.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get a big, almost like a grindstone.
Man, so your arm's going to be super sore after grinding some peanuts long enough to turn into butter.
Well, you know, I've had gritty peanut butter. Have you ever had the natural peanut butter that comes in a jar
separates
and all nice and gritty in there? It'd be similar to that. But hey, if I have to choose between no peanut butter and gritty peanut butter, I'm going to take the gritty peanut butter 100 times out of 100.
Nice. Well, I think that's a good note to end unless you have some other stuff you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, I could go into all the individual things of, and it kind of ties into my whole thing about politics. I have a belief about politics. You know, I said I was a pessimist when I asked what party I am. I'm either Democrat or Republican. I'm pessimistic. Right. And the fundamental core of my political belief is tied to the idea of politicians doing their half steps, as I call them.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to crime, if you're a Republican, is, well, we need more guns. And the answer to crime, if you're a Democrat, is, well, we need less guns. As a pessimist, the answer is, both of you are wrong, and we're never going to get the right answer, and we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. So, and the general idea is they like taking their half steps and swinging back and forth and never actually getting anything done because they just like talking about things instead of actually doing things.
Right.
So that kind of was like one of the big core things that I was talking about today is with global warming is it's all half steps and they hate solutions. So I guess one thing that I would say to end it out, if I really wanted to prevent global warming, I would do a few things. First off, no solar, no electricity, no coal power, no gas power, all that stuff. No. Forget that. We're going full on nuclear. That would be 100% the way that you would go because the majority of fossil fuel emissions that they say comes from production of electricity, which then is used by companies. Mm-hmm. If you can just be like, hey, everything's nuclear, that makes so many other problems down the road so much more minute. It's like, well, you know, the cost of the global warming gas emissions by beef. Well, we don't have to worry about, you know, the electricity that's used in producing beef. It's all green, you know?
Right.
Or I call it blue because, believe it or not, nuclear energy, when it's inside of a reactor core, generally produces blue light inside of a reactor. But nobody sees it because it's inside a reactor. So, anyway.
Interesting.
But you'll never hear a proponent of green energy talking about nuclear. It's so bizarre, you know, which, you know, is fitting for this channel.
Yep,
we discussed. Yep. But why on earth is nobody all over green nuclear energy?
No profit.
It is one of those full solutions that I was talking about where they say, well, we don't want to completely fix the problem because if we fix the problem, we can't bat back and forth on it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They've been having the gun debate in this country since Kennedy. In fact, you could probably go all the way back to FDR, and they've never done a thing about it. It's all been half steps. And they love it. How many politicians run on guns, you know? both sides. And then take, what's another very old one? Abortion. That sure. one's been going on since the 70s.
It's been going on for a long time.
Healthcare, I think that one's been a long time. I think that that was even first introduced back when Social Security was.
Oh, wow.
And then you can go back to, I mean, one of the oldest ones that they went back and forth on forever in this country was slavery. That one started in when they first founded the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a provision that they were eventually going to phase out slavery, but they never did. And there was all these half steps of, well, we're not going to entirely get rid of slavery. We just ban the import of slaves. But you can still have, if you have slaves, you can keep them. But then it's a generational problem because then the slaves have kids and then there's more slaves. And it's like, they just did all these half back and forth until, you know, Civil War broke out, right?
Right.
So that...
that's nuts.
Anyway, I was a point I was going with this. They don't like the permanent solutions. They love these halves, and that's what nuclear energy would be. It would be a full solution. They don't want to do a full solution. No. Let's do electric cars. I mean, dude, nuclear option's called nuclear option for a reason. No, we're not doing that.
Yep, that's how it is. I suppose that will conclude today's episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Bizarre Conspiracies. If you want to email me or Conrad, you can do so at bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. That's one word, bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. Final thoughts, Conrad.
Next week is going to be super controversial.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned, and we'll see you in the next episode.